Tony Maglio is on the line with us, who keeps an eye on all things TV for TheWrap.com. Tony, how are you doing there, my friend?
Good, Dean. How are you, man?
Doing very, very well. I enjoyed reading your coverage this week, kind of looking at the Tony nominations and what happened. What were the big highlights for you?
The Emmy nomination. He's Tony.
Any, that's right.
He's
Sorry.
Tony.
The
way,
I believe this award show should be renamed for Mr. Maglio, is my feeling on this. The Emmy nominations.
I'm in with that, Dean.
That's right.
Hey, you know, it was a heck of a lot of freshmen kind of making the move. And without Game of Thrones, that opened the door for a lot of dramas. And comedy was a little bit more standard, with Veep leading the way as usual. That thing wins an award every year. But yeah, you know, some old, some new, but a lot of shows ending. Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones missing the cut. That opened the door on the drama side.
Yeah, and well, for best dramas, the nominees were Better Call Saul. And here in Chicago, you know, we're especially proud of Bob Odenkirk, one of Chicago's very own. We love him and love the show. Yeah. I think even if he wasn't from Chicago, we'd still love him.
It was a great season this year.
It was. This show, we were talking earlier, Tony, about how I have never seen, I shouldn't tell this to a TV
yeah, no kidding.
Writer. I have never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. It's just not in my wheelhouse for some reason. But I love...
It's impossible to keep up with. I'm with you. Technically a TV critic, and I watched a couple of seasons, and I couldn't pronounce anyone's name or where they're from.
Right.
I gave up.
Yeah.
I watch it all the time, and I don't know the people's names. I still don't. See, Seven years later.
This is where I get confused with the whole thing. But anyway,
but it's good.
I do like Better Call Saul. I do enjoy that. The Crown on Netflix also was nominated for Best Drama. The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. House of Cards on Netflix. Stranger Things on Netflix. This Is Us on NBC. And Westworld on HBO.
So look at that. One network show.
Yeah.
Only one network show.
And Tony, correct me if I'm wrong. This was, relatively speaking, compared to the last few years, a good year for commercial television. And mostly in part because of... Because of This Is Us.
Yeah, fair to say. I mean, This Is Us is like the clear breakout hit. It's kind of what Empire was a few years ago, although this one actually gets the critical attention, whereas Empire didn't get it at first. It probably won't win. Stranger Things is currently the favorite, then Handmaid's Tale and Crown behind that. But This Is Us made a humongous splash, and NBC is thrilled with the ratings, thrilled to be nominated. Now, I love Better Call Saul, too, but if I had a vote, I would give it to Westworld. Westworld's not going to win, but Westworld was so good.
What do you think is powering that show? It got it tied for the second most nominations of all the shows this year. Westworld and SNL both getting 22 nominations this year. What do you think is the power behind all those nominations for Westworld?
Westworld is one of those shows where I won't give away any spoilers, but it takes the twists and turns that would satisfy any customer. I mean, it takes a little bit of a slow start, but once you start to get into Westworld and there's a lot of reveals and things come up and things change and things aren't what they seem, it genuinely has payoff on every single one of those. And that's why the fans stuck with it. Now, it's funny because Westworld, an old property that was redone for TV and not a great old property, but they made it into a great television property. And then you got SNL, which has been on the air for 155 years, tying atop the Emmy nominations with no Game of Thrones.
Is Westworld
of a weird year.
Is Westworld coming back for another season? It's not just a one.
It is.
Okay, good.
No, it's coming back. Yeah, it's coming back. Good. So hopefully, you know, there were a few cliffhangers at the end.
Real good cliffhanger.
Cliffhangers, yeah. And, hopefully a lot of it gets clarified in season two, and I can't wait. Again, a little bit of a slow start, but stick with that show if you gave up on it. Go binge it.
The coolest thing, did you ever watch it, Dane, or no?
No. I actually, you know what, I did see a couple of them.
The coolest thing was, as he mentioned, you know, it's based on the movie that started, you know, James Brolin and Richard Benjamin.
Right.
And Yul Brynner, and in a scene, very quickly, they showed, they were in a back room where there were all these old robots, and they quickly panned past the Yul Brynner robot in the dark black outfit.
Cool.
Nice, so that was a homage. Nice little, yeah, it was very cool.
Nice little homage. Yeah. Nominated for Best Actress in a Drama, Viola Davis from How to Get Away with Murder, Claire Foy in The Crown, Elizabeth Moss, A Handmaid's Tale, Kerry Russell for The Americans, Evan Rachel Wood in Westwood, Robin Wright in House of Cards. Any surprises there? Any snubs there?
Well, Kerry Russell and we'll probably get to it, but Matthew Rhys both got nominated individually. But The Americans, which finally got nominated last year, gave its spot up to a show like Westworld this year. So, you know, Evan Rachel Wood being in there with Kerry is kind of interesting. Viola's always going to be there. She's incredible. But Elizabeth Moss is the favorite. Claire Foy is number two. Those are both new series. So, again, new series making a splash.
The Freshman, yeah.
Kind of the most traditional TV awards show that there is.
Yeah. On the dramatic side for actors, Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, Anthony Hopkins from Westworld, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Matthew Rhys, as you mentioned, Liev Schreiber, Kevin Spacey, and Milo Ventimiglia from This Is Us. What about in this category? Anything noteworthy?
Yeah, Milo's a bit of a surprise for people. He's not really the breakout in terms of acting chops star of This Is Us, though he's excellent in the show. But Sterling K. Brown, you and I spoke about at length for the OJ show. He's just incredible, right? I mean, that guy can act. Bob, we love him too. Anthony Hopkins, so good. Kevin Spacey every year. Liev Schreiber, you know, not a stranger to, you know, nominations or accolades. I think Sterling being the heavy favorite, no one would have guessed. But again, nobody thought This Is Us is going to come out of nowhere. Bob's got a great chance. Hopkins has a good chance. Spacey has probably won enough. And I think right there, you know, after 1, 2, 3, you probably, nobody really has, is going to come from behind in that race.
Yeah, before I take a break and we talk about the comedy nominations, I just want to talk about Feud, the Betty and Joan story that got 18 nominations. I thought was amazing. I rarely get caught into these things, but, you know, maybe because it's about the movies, you know, and kind of my wheelhouse that I was in. I thought the whole thing was fascinating and so well done. Is this one going to dominate, do you think, in winning the Betty Davis, Joan Crawford story that starred Susan Sarandon,
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
You know, brought to us by Ryan Murphy, the story of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Well, it got a ton of nominees, right? Nominations, right? But it's in really hard categories. The show itself is a limited series, so it's going up against Big Little Lies, The Night of, Fargo, and Nat Geo's Genius. Now, Genius won't have a chance. Fargo was awesome again, but it probably doesn't have a chance. The Night of might come from behind and win, but really, it's like an even money favorite is Big Little Lies on HBO. So Feud wouldn't be a shocker by any stretch of the imagination to win, but it still has to overtake Big Little Lies in terms of the actual series category itself. So no slam dunk there. But yeah, you're right. A ton of accolades and super well done. That's what Ryan Murphy does. He just makes great TV shows.
He's the king of television. I mean, think about it.
Absolutely.
He hasn't had a loser in the last 5 years between American Horror Story and OJ and now this.
Yeah, maybe the worst thing that he's got going for them is that the real Olivia de Havilland, 101 years old, is suing him for Feud, for the series, saying that he put words in her mouth, her character's mouth, that she never says. 101 years old and she's suing the guy.
Good for her.
Which I kind of love,
Just string it out for 5 years.
That's the kind of show where if you're going to make it, you sock money away for lawsuits. It's just going to happen.
That's right. Make a great sequel.
Or in this case, 101-year-old.
Yeah. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back, talk about the nominees for Best Comedies. Tony Maglia is on with us from TheWrap.com. We'll be back after this. Hey. 11:24 at 720 WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Elton John, Jim Toronto is here with
us. John is here. Hello, Dean.
Hello, mate. Here with us, along with Tony Maglio, who is the television writer, critic for TheWrap.com. If you're not following him on Twitter, you have to. If you're at all interested in television, Tony really does a great job of covering it all and offers it with a great sense of humor and really, really enjoy your work. I've told you that before, how much I enjoy reading you. But Jim, you were telling me during one of the breaks about some of the Chicago nominees.
Yeah.
What were some of those on that list that you had found?
Yeah, I was finding these. So we had Carrie Coon, who has been at Steppenwolf. She was in many plays. I think she started with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with Tracy Letts, which went to Broadway. She was nominated for Fargo. Of course, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who started here in Chicago. For Veep, William H. Macy, another Chicago actor from Steppenwolf, Shameless, Odenkirk, as you mentioned, Anna Chlumsky from Oak Park, for Veep, Matt Walsh, who was also in Veep. Veep got really made a lot of a lot of nominations. Mandy Patinkin for Homeland. Who else we have here?
He's barely a Chicagoan, though.
Who, Mandy?
Yeah.
Oh, just barely.
He was born here, but yeah. I don't think he's been back here.
Well, you know, but he's
50
but
years.
Didn't he get his start here?
He got his, well, he was born here.
Okay. And Vanessa Bayer for Saturday Night Live as yeah. well. Did some time here. So,
interesting, though, Tony. Jill Soloway, who was also a Chicagoan, not nominated this year for her series Transparent, which was, I think that was, if there was one big surprise for me in this whole bunch, is Transparent seemed to have lost a little of the shine that it's had for the last several years. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great observation. And again, it's a situation where a show that kind of became a critical darling, you know, maybe it's not as good as it used to be or in critics' eyes, but they had to make room for Atlanta. Modern Family's still there. You played that coming in the intro music. It has almost no shot this year, but it's still there. Comedy is just a stacked, tough category to deal with, especially when you add in these streaming services.
And Black-ish, which I thought had an exceptional year this year, some really thoughtful, smart, really funny scripts at the same time. That's nominated. Master of None on Netflix is in the list. Silicon Valley. Is that the hot show right now? That seems to be the one everyone's talking about, aside from Veep.
Yeah, it's one of the hot shows, though. T.J. Miller, one of the fan favorites, he's leaving, and he's leaving on really not great terms.
Yeah.
So that show will struggle maybe a little bit to replace his Ehrlich Bachman character, but Silicon Valley's so funny. It's a great show. Season 1 and season 2 are both excellent. It's not going to win. Neither is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is just a hilarious, consistently hilarious show. Kimmy Schmidt's a little maybe too silly for snobby type Emmy voters, but another great quality comedy. It's a stacked. It really is a stacked list.
Kimmy Schmidt have ever been on NBC? Because initially it was developed by Tina Fey, and it was supposed to be an NBC show. I have never seen it because once again, I don't watch Netflix.
Jim is too cheap to invest in.
Well, how many of these can I buy? I have to buy 17. Yeah. Listen to all
Netflix. Look, if my mom pays for Netflix,
there you go. There you go.
I know, but like Tony just said, Hulu. You got Hulu. You got Amazon. You got Netflix.
Excuse me.
What am I going to do here?
Tony's mom has it. That's all we have to say.
Hey, I've got a flip phone.
Nominated for.
No, but was that Kimmy Schmidt a good show? Could it have been a network show? Or no?
It's a great show. It could have been. It's not a raunchy show at all. I mean, it's a super innocent, you know, Ellie Kemper is a very innocent, cutesy. She's very funny. She's hilarious. But I think it could have been fine on network. Now, it works better on Netflix, maybe for streaming purposes, maybe not. But yeah, there's no reason it couldn't have. Yeah. I think they screwed up.
I just wondered why they passed on it.
Yeah, I was happy to see Zach Galifianakis get a nomination for Best Actor in a Comedy for Baskets, which I think is so funny.
Did Louis Anderson get nominated again?
I didn't see the
Louis did again, yeah.
He is unbelievable on that show.
Yeah. Anthony Anderson's nominated, Aziz Ansari, Donald Glover from Atlanta, William H. Macy from Shameless. Jeffrey Tambor did get a nomination for Transparent. On the comedy actress side, it's Pamela Adian from Better Things, Tracy Ellis Ross from Black-ish, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, both nominated from Grace and Frankie, Allison Janney from Mom, Ellie Kemper from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Any surprises, any big snubs in either of those two?
I don't see too many surprises here. Lily and Jane will probably cancel each other out. Allison Janney's there every year. I guess, you know, I misspoke. There is a huge surprise. Pamela Adlon, nobody thought she was going to be in the mix here, but Ellie deserves it. Tracy absolutely deserves it. And I'm going with your hometown girl, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She has so many trophies on her mantle, but she will still somehow retire as one of the most underappreciated comedic minds of our generation, the next generation, the previous. She's just unbelievable.
She is great. I thought, just in another category that I thought was kind of interesting, the category for variety talk series, in which Full Frontal with Samantha Bee was nominated, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, The Late Late Show with James Corden, Real Time with Bill Maher, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. None of these shows, I'm guessing, super big favorites of President Trump.
No, I don't think so.
Interesting how the Hollywood elite who voted in
and notice the one that got flack for not giving Trump a hard time, which was Jimmy Fallon, did not get nominated.
Not nominated. The whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of people see Fallon as a snub. I personally don't, just because again, there's so many talk shows now. They're all so good. James Corden did a great job with The Late Late Show.
Right.
Colbert finally found his footing with The Late Show, and last week Tonight is just so excellent that thing's gonna watch that just be the next Veep, where it wins every year in its category.
Yeah, it's brilliantly produced, so well written, so well researched, mm-hmm. and hilarious at the same time.
And Comedy Central could have had him to succeed Jon Stewart, and they didn't.
Yeah, what a mistake.
What were they thinking? He already had filled in for Jon Stewart before. It seemed a perfect torch passing, and they passed on him.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disaster for Comedy Central, though, because I think, Tony, that Trevor Noah's also found his footing.
But not like Jon
Oliver. Trevor's definitely doing better. And look, having every single name of these shows, as you brilliantly pointed out, every one of them benefits so much from having Donald Trump in office.
Yeah,
especially Colbert.
Trevor Noah is a great example. Trevor Noah and Colbert are the best examples. I mean, hell, Full Frontal might not exist if Trump... I mean, it would, but it might not be on this list if Trump wasn't in office. I agree, though, with Jim, I guess, who said that, is they had John Oliver. He filled in for a great summer on The Daily Show. How do you let that guy go? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And think about Colbert. He almost was replaced by James Corden, if not for Trump. Mm. He was that close.
Yeah. It was slippery there for a little bit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that, but also they literally found their footing and decided what voice they wanted to have on that show. Mm-hmm. Had it not been President Trump, had it been President Clinton instead, I think he still probably would have found. They decided to just be a political comedy show,
which was what he did on Comedy Central, and was successful.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Speaking of Colbert, he's going to be hosting the Emmy Awards on CBS on September 17th. So we've got plenty of time to, talk this to death. love reading Tony Maglio on therap.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Tony Maglio, MAGLIO. Tony, it's always great to talk to you. We appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, boys.